back to the Chain Gang podcast. It's been a little while, but I am back, and with me today I've got a very, very special guest. It's Charlene Jones, who, if you are into mobility, if you're a cyclist, you probably already follow on Instagram. So how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, really excited about sharing some knowledge today.
Yeah, I mean, let's pretend this isn't attempt two. So let's talk a little bit just about who you are and how you got into cycling and how you've got to where you are now.
Yeah, so I started cycling when I was 19 and I came from a really sporting family. I was playing hockey at the time and I had really sore shins and knees. I also was at university studying sports and exercise science. And it all kind of merged into one. So my physio, because I was sore and going to physio, she said, why don't you, instead of running, use the bike for fitness? And so I did that, and I had a really great guy on hand, my dad, to help me out, because he was a big triathlete and Ironman. He's done 8 Ironman, and it was a triathlon coach, a GB triathlon coach, so he knew a lot about bikes, and he took me to the track, and I went on the track, and the track being the velodrome, and I absolutely loved it. It was so, so fun. And I kind of used myself as a project with the help of my dad to coach myself in the first year of university. So yeah, that was a really fun process, and I just fell in love with the speed of the track, being able to go fast, and also that sweat that you get on a turbo. I just absolutely loved it, pushing yourself hard, because I never really pushed myself that hard before. Obviously, I was competitive throughout my life. I've been competitive throughout my life, just that. But this was like next level, like pushing myself really, really. It was amazing. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It obviously led you to a fair few achievements in your life. You've competed for Scotland at the Commonwealth Games. You've won quite a few of the iconic British domestic races. What kind of highlights have there been for you throughout your career?
Yeah, definitely winning the silver medal for Scotland at the Delhi Commonwealth Games in the team sprint with my team sprint partner, Jen Davis. So that was absolutely amazing. And then I switched to endurance cycling, and so longer races on the track, on the road as well. But I really, really thought that, you know, training with GB and having one of the GB coaches coach me was a really, really great highlight, because I learned a lot from them. And also just a really great race. Just my second last race, actually. Maybe it was my third last race. I can't remember. Second or third last race was Otley GP, and I won it, and it was just amazing because the crowds are amazing and really, really loud, and it was just fun. It was a great, great day. So yeah, those are kind of my career highlights to date. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously you say you switch from hockey to cycling, and I mean, I could talk a bit about me. Just in terms of, like, I played rugby for 10 years and I refereed it for the last 4, and obviously I cycle as well now. But even that switch between playing in a team and being solo made a huge difference to my complete outlook, in terms of, you, not that you do rely on someone else as an athlete, but in terms of when you're part of a team, you don't have to do everything. When you're cycling, even though there are team events, it's still down completely to you. So how did you find making that switch? Do you think it's easy to do if you approach it in the right way?
Well, it was very different for me, yeah, because I was always drawn to team sports because I loved, yeah, I just loved camaraderie and, you know, just doing things as a team. And then you turn up to cycling and everyone's like that. Honey, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to beat you. And I was like that, all right then. I need to be a bit more like that. And then, you know, it's friendly, but as soon as you get onto the track or onto the roads and you're actually racing, the friendships are kind of like you're every man for themselves. It was good, because the thing about team sport is, yeah, you can be at the top of your game, but what if someone in your team's not? So they can actually let the team down. And that's what I loved, is that actually in cycling, if you're not going to put the work in, you're going to be rubbish. You know, you're not going to win. You're not going to perform to your best ability. So that was quite nice. And knowing that I could, like, it wasn't due to anyone else. It was just me. It was all down to me and my performance and my training. So that was nice, especially on the track. On the road, it was a little bit more difficult because it's a team sport, but not everyone gets the glory. So it's not like, you know, at the Olympics, a hockey team, everyone would get a medal. Whereas, like, if one person wins, then not the whole team gets a medal in cycling. And I found that a little bit odd and just really quite just weird. I think honestly, if the one change that I would make to, like, road racing would be give everyone a medal, or make the team a winner, make it a winning team, because you at really high levels, a lot of the time you can't really do it without your team, especially in the longer races where you need your teammates to be doing, like, all the grafting for you. And I feel like it would generate better relationships within a team as well. There would be no sort of, you know, you wouldn't, like, I loved working for other cyclists. I loved helping people win. Because I just naturally just love helping people. So that wasn't an issue for me. But I also knew that I could win races. I could win races because I had that sprint, and I knew that I could win races, but not every cyclist can. You know, not everyone's got that sprint, or not everyone has got that endurance to get to the end, or not everyone has got the strength or stamina. So a lot of people will probably disagree with me in saying this, but I think that would massively change the sport if everyone was to get a medal, or it was to be like, yes, we have team wins, and I think everyone should get a medal. That's all I'm saying about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that I would personally campaign for in cycling. And I mean, like, obviously, all the big stage races do have a team classification. But The difference is, when you're wearing a bright yellow jersey, or bright pink jersey, or bright red jersey, you're very visible. Your little yellow numbers on the back of your jersey don't really have the same effect. And I think that there's certainly a case to be had for more of it. Like, take in men's professional cycling, you've got Adam Hansen, who's ridden, I don't know the actual statistic, but if not yet 20, pretty much 20 Grand Tours. He's never won one, but he's been riding for people every time he's been there. I think there's definitely a case to say that, because there's more to cycling than people realise. There's a lot more to a lot of team sport. And this is the thing, is people don't tend to watch cycling in its entirety. If you have a 250-kilometre stage, the number of people there at kilometre zero is going to be fairly slim. People like me with no life who sit there and say, oh, early breakaway. But yeah, I think there's definitely a case for that. And like you say, certain people do enjoy it. And if you enjoy working for people and you don't find, if you can accept that, although perhaps the glory's not on your shoulders directly, as long as you've got a teammate who is appreciative, then it kind of does fall to those shoulders. Which, yeah, it is something too hard to accept as someone who doesn't come from a team, who comes from a proper team sport, a kind of pure team sport, like rugby, football, hockey, all of those.
So
also, if we talk about what you're doing now, because obviously you're not a cyclist anymore. Well, you do ride your bike, but you're not competing on your bike anymore. You now are, once again, helping people, but this is kind of in a different way. So if you want to explain a bit about what you do.
Yeah. So recent venture is all about mobility. It's called Power Your Range, and it's not nothing yet, but it's kind of, it's just three classes that I've been taking while in lockdown. And it all stems back from when I stopped cycling in 2016. I found the love for yoga. I found a new passion. I didn't know what to do. And that's really what I fell in love with after cycling. I did a little bit during cycling, but it wasn't really structured into my training. But yeah, after cycling, really got into it. And just every time I went to yoga class, all I could think was, I wish I did this when I was a cyclist. I wish I took the time, and I wish someone would have told me how much it would have benefited me, not only physically, but mentally. So I then decided to take my yoga teacher training, and my husband plays for Glasgow Warriors. So we kind of, I got into Glasgow Warriors to take them for yoga, which was quite interesting. And from there on, it's kind of developed. I've worked closely with the players and found out what they like and what they don't like and what they want more of. And I took another course called Functional Range Conditioning, which is all about joint health and joint, so range of movement in your joints and getting strong in them. So it was a mixture between strength and gaining more range in your joints. I then merged it all together, and now it makes mobility, so flexibility and strength, and a little bit of yoga in between as well. So it's kind of my own concoction, with other, you know, I'm inspired by yoga, functional range conditioning, and you know, some Pilates. It's really a mixture of everything, and using some concepts from principles of coaching that I learned from university. So, and I come from, yes, cycling, but I've also done hockey. I did gymnastics for 10 years when I was younger, calisthenics, so body weight training, strength training. I've went from in the gym lifting heavy weights to actually just using my body weight, because I'm heavy. So using your own, you know, using your own body weight is heavy. You know, you're not just lifting 10 kilos. You're lifting, you know, I'm 63 kilos. So you can really use your body as weight. So it's been really interesting to kind of, if I looked at the past kind of 4 years from 2016 when I stopped cycling to now, and just see how my yoga journey has went, it's been amazing. I've really learned. I've listened to the athletes I've worked with. I've worked with the Glasgow ice hockey clan as well, so the guys from ice hockey. So a lot of contact sports wanting to be stabilised in their range, get strength in the range, but also get more mobile to be able to get more force through their muscles. So yeah, now I'm doing Power Your Range, and it's free or donations only to the NHS 24. And it started out as three people on Zoom, and over the course of 12 weeks, it's grown to, you know, the most I've had is 35, which has been amazing. So it's just really nice to see that people are willing to try it, and also people are coming back and telling people about it, and it's all word of mouth. So I'm really trying to spread the word about it for my launch to make it into an actual business next month in July.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said, it's your own concoction, but you've certainly developed a lot of fans for it, and some quite important ones, or quite notable ones too. I mean, like, I'm thinking about the kind of people I know who definitely listen to my podcast, and they're the kind of people who, they've never said this to me, so I'm putting words in their mouth a little bit, but they're kind of people who might look down and say, oh, I don't need that, I don't need this. But actually, I know a lot of them idolize people like Steve Cummings. I know a lot of them fans like that. And obviously he was there on Friday, and I'm sure he's been a few times. So what do you have to say to people who don't think stuff like this is important? I mean, like, there's a lot of cultures in certain sports. Not cycling doesn't tend to have it because it's a bit more individual, but sports like rugby, I know you said you work with Glasgow Warriors and they're a professional sports team, but they're kind of low, they have this macho attitude that, I mean, when I played rugby, I didn't used to warm up. I used to warm up, but my warming up would consult usually how much time out of the warm up I could take to go and drink and stuff. I wouldn't be actually doing the warm up. So yeah, well, like, what do you have to say to people with that kind of outlook on these things?
I mean, I would say that this kind of this program, this career range, is for people that want to feel better and perform better. So if you're happy where you are and you don't want to do the work to feel better, do better, and look for those kind of marginal gains, then I guess it's not really for you. I don't want to kind of attract the wrong kind of people per your range. But it's just, you know, people hate stretching. And I've had a lot of people after saying, oh, you're doing that stretch thing again. And I'm like, it's not stretching. But what they feel after is so open. They feel so open from it. It's the same kind of feeling after as you would having a stretch, but you get so many more gains from it. So yeah, just like foam rolling and stretching might be good in the short term. It can make you feel good that night. But if you want like biological changes in your muscle and your joints and your ligaments and your tendons as one, you know, doing this kind of training can really help with that. And yeah, I've got people that have, you know, cyclists, not only cyclists, but swimmers. And I've had Alex Dowsett on a couple of times as well. I've had Hayley Simmons, you know, they're both massive time trialists in Great Britain. I've had cyclomas Kyle Gordon and Doris. You know, Kyle races for the Hoob Watt bike and Doris and Emily for Drops. I've had some international cyclists from, I took Team Canyon SRAM, women's professional cycling team, last Thursday for a private session. You know, I've had Johanna Miley, a GB swimmer, come on. So these, I guess, are people that really, really love to look for the marginal gains, to get better in their sport, and also just to feel good. My husband Lee plays rugby for Glasgow Warriors, and he's been doing it with me since lockdown, almost every single session, and just has noticed a massive difference in just how he feels and how he can move better. And so it's really, really, it's really good for you, and it's got a great online community. It's a great laugh, so it's not all serious. It is, but it's not really.
Yeah, serious podcasts. That's what it's all about.
Serious.
Which I am not a specialist in at all. Now, like, if there's one thing I've always thought, and I have always, so my dad played rugby for 20 years, proper traditionalist, same club, proper brutish second row. And yeah, like, so now he really struggles getting around a lot. I think you probably know the answer to this or something close to. I don't know how many joints we have in the body, but I think about four of my dad's work still. So like, do you think you being someone who has been at elite sport and then retired, because there seems to be a tendency for a lot of athletes, there's two ways you can go. There's the people who just love being fit and they would just continue and continue and continue. And there's the people who say, well, that was that period of my life and now I can't do it. So they'd like sort of shun it. How important is it to keep your body healthy after sport if you are at that level?
Oh my gosh. This could be a very long conversation, but I'm just going to wrap it up and just tell me about my dad. He's 73 and he can still do pull-ups and like press-ups and keep up with me on the bike. Like, I mean, do you want to be sitting in your living room reading a newspaper every single day when you're 73, or do you want to be out on your bike, walking about, running, keep moving? Like, for me, because that's what I love, I want to be doing it as long as I can. And it's funny because the mobility is actually attracting older people in terms of probably like 25 and above. So like above towards like mid 40s. So anywhere between there. But I really would love, like, I would really, really If I had started earlier, I just would love the younger generation to, you know, when you're young and people are like, ah, wait till you get to my age, you'll not feel your hips anymore. And, you know, it's so true. Like, you're like, yeah, well, I'll deal with that when I get there. And you literally have to deal with it when you get there. You need to come to mobility. But if maybe you start a little bit earlier, just wow. Like, it's so important to keep exercising, especially if you've been a professional sports person for years. I think it's so important to keep looking after your body because you've smashed it for so long that now you need to think, right, what does it need instead of what do I need to do to be the best in my sport? It then becomes, what can I do to help my body keep functioning as good as it can? So,
yeah, I mean, what you said about, you're always told by people who are older than you, especially in the sports communities, like, I keep going back to the fact I played rugby, but, like, I remember, even when I was, like, in my whole time playing rugby, I got injured once. I snapped my wrist in half a week before a cup final in training, which is pretty special stuff to do. But, like, I always didn't warm up properly, but I never pulled in muscles, and I always just thought, maybe I'm just, like, immune. Maybe I'm just immune to pulling muscles. And the scary thing is how quickly it creeps up on you that your body stops recovering as well as that. When you're 14, 15, your body can take a lot of stuff. And even if you do pull a muscle, the recovery time is so much shorter than it would be for something else, if you damage a joint, anything like that. And even now, like, I'm only 19 now, but even now I notice a drastic difference if I warm up, if I don't, if I stretch, if I use my foam roller. So, yeah, I think it's definitely really important what you're doing. And I mean, like you said, getting people involved young, you never know how important that could be. And if we look at sport and we look at the ages of retirement in professional sport, it just keeps going up and up because of people doing things like this younger and younger. I mean, right now we've got in cycling, Alejandro Valverde is 40 and he's still one of the best riders in the professional peloton. And if you had said that years ago, I mean, people were riding older, but the stress in the sport was less. Yeah. So, yeah, I think working with people like this is definitely doing a lot. So you also, alongside this, have done some stuff in the past. You did some retreats, where you took people away to do stuff like this. What were they like?
So, yeah, last year, Lee and I got married in 2018. And then the year after that, I just loved the venue so much. It was just a beautiful big lodge up in Scotland, northwest Scotland, and it's right next to Loch, the lake for you guys, and beautiful countryside, hills, and it's just the most beautiful venue, the big barn where I could do yoga. So I decided to do retreats there. It's got spa and things as well, like hot tub, jacuzzi, sauna. I don't know when we're going to be able to use them again right enough, but did one last April and then one last September and then January just there, and then had one booked for October. And we've still got it booked, we've still got people booked in, we're still taking bookings as well. We've still got some bookings left to fill. But just with the uncertainties, we just don't know if it's going to go ahead. We've got our fingers crossed and it's social distancing. We'll have to put that in place. So we're just waiting to see what happens with COVID. But it's all about, you get what you want from the weekend. So you can go up and you can, you know, the activities are like hill walking, loch dip if you're brave enough, spa time, yoga, I think I said that, mobility, HIIT, like strength training with equipment, animal flow. There's like loads of different activities that you can try, and it's all optional. So you can go up and you can do two sessions, or you can go up and you can do them all. We get varied people who are like, oh, you know, I just want to do the meditation at night and the yoga in the morning and eat all the amazing food that you cook for us. So people will use the weekend for whatever they want. It could be like a kickstart in your fitness. It could be like, yeah, a reboost. It could be just time away. It could be a little treat for doing something well. It could be just time to relax and chill out, take up a book, pick your favourite couch or sofa and just chill out there. You know, it's a really, really beautiful setting. So you just overlook the loch and got, yeah, it's just really, really nice. So fingers crossed October goes ahead. Still taking bookings. So it's just one of my favourite things to do.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty amazing. And I think you seem to cater for a lot of people, which is what you need to do. And obviously, like you said, you hope it goes ahead. How you've obviously built up this community almost entirely in lockdown for this mobility stuff. You, like you said, you've grown from 3 to 30+ in each class. And I see it shared everywhere I look. Every time I click on Instagram, someone's sharing one of your mobility sessions somewhere. So how have you got any plans in place as to how you can adapt this? Obviously, you're this web of people must be far and wide. Professional cyclists, people like Steve Cummings, Alex Dowsett, they live sometimes in Andorra, sometimes they're in the UK, sometimes they're in France, sometimes they're in Australia. Yeah. So what kind of contingency plans do you have in place to keep this community alive, even though you need to shift it back to, I would say, normality? We don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, I think that basically just now I'm taking 2 classes a week. And you're going to get in the plan, you're going to there's going to be a private Instagram page and a private Facebook page. And we're going to do the Zooms twice a week, whenever they are. And then I'll put the recordings up on the private Instagram and the private Facebook page, so everyone will have access to that. If they can't make the lives, then they can go and do them on catch up and fit them in with their life, you know. So if you want to come on and do the Zooms and, like, you know, this is what I do every Monday at 6:45 p.m. is I go, I've done my work or I've done my training day or it's my easy day or whatever. I go and I do my power your range session. But, you know, it needs to be, a lot of people said, you know, is it recorded? Can we catch up? And I've said, no, like, you know, not yet. It's still all free. So I'm saving all the sessions up so that I can use them if I ever need them when I start the business and I'm ill or I'm on holiday. People are still going to get their sessions per week. So that's kind of how it's going to work. And it's just great because then it means that people in different countries are going to have access to it as well, not just in the UK. Who have I had on? A couple from South Africa. I've had Australians on, Kiwi, Colombia, Switzerland, France, obviously UK, yeah, and Scotland, Scotland, England, Wales. So yes, it's really exciting. It's daunting. It's scary, kind of starting to charge for it. But it's such a good business idea and people are obviously wanting to do it. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, and obviously one thing I found when I've been growing the chain gang is actually when you see international audiences come down and you look at your analytics and you see all these things, obviously for you they're in front of you. It really shows to me the power of the internet and kind of how connected our world is now. And it must be nice for someone like you who traditionally the industry you're working in now, your catchment area is what, maybe 5-10 miles around the city where you are and your studio. And even if you are in a big city, then there's other studios. Whereas now you can stand out across the world and you can reach anyone ever. So I guess that must be pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to help as many people as possible feel better in their bodies and just to give it a go, like just give it a go for a month, like give it a go, do 1 or 2 mobilities a week for a month, see if you feel better. If you don't, put my hands up and say, okay, it wasn't for you. But I mean, I would probably say you'll feel better. I mean, the group's only grown and we've got a lot of people that keep coming back and then new people joining. So word of mouth is really helping, but yeah, I would really love, you know, anyone looking to to gain something in their performance, to gain like strength, power, then sometimes if your range is stopping you from getting, from producing the power, because for example your hip can't move a certain way or can't go as far up, then you're not going to be able to use your whole muscle. And also it's really good for those who are hypermobile, because you have lots of range and you are not strong in your range, so you're going to gain strength in there. So yeah, I've worked with some people who are hypermobile and it's really helping them, and also people who are really stiff and those that are kind of in between like myself that are just looking for the gains, so and looking to maintain. When you get to your optimum level, I mean, I'm definitely not my optimum level yet, but yeah, it just makes you feel great.
Yeah, I think definitely. Before lockdown, I'd never tried yoga. I'd never really cared about stretching. I've changed my outlook completely, and I do feel a lot better from it. And obviously, I'll be there tonight, which, I mean, either there's going to be some people listening to this who've just sat through that, potentially seeing me getting into all sorts of positions I wouldn't normally get into, and I then have chosen to come and listen to my voice for 40 minutes, so fair play to them. Now, in the last sort of 10 minutes, what I tend to like to do is I like to kind of give people something that perhaps isn't what you normally see. Like, I do this with a lot of cyclists, and obviously it's all well and good me talking about cycling for 45 minutes, but they talk about cycling for 45 minutes on every podcast they go on. So I like to, like, kind of, not that I dehumanized you, but kind of bring you down to earth and tell people what you're like as a person. So what have you been doing in lockdown away from kind of all the stuff you're doing for your business to keep entertained?
Baking. So I don't know who's not been baking. I mean, I mastered the sourdough first time.
That's pretty impressive. That's a tough skill to master that.
I mean, one of my friends is a baker and he literally phoned me every hour and talked to me through it. So it's kind of impossible for me to get it wrong. but it takes a lot of work. Baking, cakes and bread, and, you know, doing stuff in the house like painting. Well, actually, not painted. But I've wanted to. But
not. Thought about painting. It's the thought that counts.
Rearranged the living room, gutted the wardrobe, gutted the back room, you know, like just cleaned like I've never cleaned before. Gardening. Oh, I've taken up this new hobby called slacklining. And yeah, it's so fun. Like, it's like tightrope kind of thing. It's flat and you just need to balance as you walk over it. And it's only about that much of the ground. Well, that's, I only put it about that much off the ground, just in case. And we have like another slat linking thing on top so that you can hold on to it for balance, but that's great fun.
So how long until you're like going over the Grand Canyon?
No. No way.
I don't think that's for me. There's a few things I've kind of just ruled out and said I don't really. Skydiving, I don't think that's for me. I just leave that to the people who enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, I think lockdown has let people do a lot of new things, and you find things you enjoy. I mean, my back garden, start of lockdown, is tiny, to clarify. But we've now grown carrots, spinach, pak choi, lettuce. We completely converted it into a little veg patch. So, you know, we're absolutely balling now. Because basically, now I've moved back in with my parents. Now I'm back from university for lockdown. My mum decided to basically do the kind of, she assumed that it was going to be a big crisis with no food. So she decided she'd grow. So we're kind of inundated with vegetables now. But there you go. Life skills I've learned. I think I always kind of had my strength abused just to do all the manual labour, but, you know. So, yeah, and what's it been like, obviously, living with a professional athlete who still plays at the top level? Because for him, this well, this now would be the end of the season, it'd be off season, and now he's having to, I assume, ramp up his training again to get back to playing. So what was it like when his season kind of gets abruptly ended, and what do you do as someone who lives with him? What kind of support do you have to give them, particularly now we all know how important mental health is and we all have to do a lot of that, and I think kind of stopping mid-season can be fairly big of an issue on that.
Yeah. So Lee's situation was slightly different because he'd been originally injured for a year. So this is, he's probably, he'll be, if he plays when they're supposed to go back in August, like an actual play game, that'll be about a year and a half no playing rugby for him. So it was kind of, it wasn't that great. It was a shame, you know, that's, the injuries just suck. So it was difficult because, you know, he's coming up for 32 next week and you're kind of wondering where you are in your career, and you want to play, you want to see how you feel, and if you still, you're still loving it, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he misses it a lot. But it was more just, I think, the structure that he missed. But we created that together and we got into a good routine. And that was kind of how I helped him to just kind of create structure. And then he was fine. He actually started his own business with a friend called Prepped, which is a meal prep company. So they are, every Saturday and Sunday, they're cooking. He loves he does a lot of the cooking. They both do a lot of the cooking at my retreats. So they cook the meals and then deliver them on Sunday. People put their orders in on Thursday and then they take them out on Sunday. So he's busy at the weekends. He's doing a lot of the content for that social media page and doing the emails and the orders. So and the food lists and things for the shopping. And then Johnny goes out and does the shopping and then come together in the end. So, but it's, they've done an amazing job. Like the food's amazing, and you know they've grown it quite a lot as well. So that's good for them.
I mean, what I'm about to say just kind of sums up my ability to do a cycling podcast. The fact I'm about to talk about this on this, but I'm quite impressed. Recently, I've realised the number of professional rugby players with businesses that are not in any way related to rugby has blown my mind. Like. It seems like every Saracens player has a coffee company now. Don't really know what that's about. There's one Saracens player who converts like old vans into like camper vans. That's quite a cool one. But yeah, it's nice to see that. I guess there's kind of a prepping for beyond sport for people. And yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't think of what the best one is. I know Brad Barrett has a really big coffee company now. And he managed, I wonder how he managed to chuck up this deal as club captain, but he's got the official deal for the supply of their coffee for the rugby club, the Saracens. So, yeah, it's nice to see that rugby players are out doing things usefully.
Some of the Warriors have a gin company called the Garden Shed Gin. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I reckon. Right, when I see footballers make businesses, they're always related to football. So it's nice. I mean, it kind of sums up rugby to me in that the rugby players want to like just do whatever they enjoy. And there is that kind of attitude in rugby, which is nice. And I think, I mean, you obviously are a cyclist and you married a rugby player, but I think there's a lot of lessons cycling as a culture and community can learn from rugby. I mean, yeah. I don't really know how I've got onto this, but there we are. So... thank you for joining me. It's been really nice to have you on. And I'm about to go and do an ability session in an hour with you. But the people listening to this, that'll be in the past, and they may have been at that ability session, which is already confusing my brain. But yeah, thank you for coming. You feel free now to tell people where they can find you and how to get involved.
Yeah, so I've not got a website page set up yet. That's in my to-do list for this week. But if you just keep an eye out on my Instagram, which is at shajoiner, and the other one is at Dynamic Fitness, and it's Q-U-E, it's not dynamic, it's dynamic, French way. and yeah, if you just keep an eye out on those two handles, if you don't have Instagram, Then the Facebook page, Charlene's Sport Specific Mobility, will have all the information within the next kind of few weeks. And if you want to try the free mobility sessions, then just head to that Facebook page. If you don't have Facebook, then just message me, direct message me on Instagram, and I'd love to send you the Zoom link. Yeah, but we've got three this week. We've got Monday, we've got today, obviously. It's Monday and it's 6:45, Wednesday, 7 p.m. and Thursday, 5 p.m.
Perfect. So thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.
Bye.